Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I am your host, JJ Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty Podcast. The Rod Pod is in our new home with Gridiron Ratings. Remember, your path to the title starts with Gridiron Ratings. Tonight, we are going to conduct a two-round rookie mock draft. To do so, we are welcoming in this motley assortment of miscreants. Joining me, let's start in the bottom right, the social media Sasquatch, Big Daddy Don Detweiler. How you doing, sir?
Dude, I'm great. It's good to see everybody around.
Great to see you. Also with us is the man from the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. You can find him at Fantasy Ferret, on Twitter, Matthew Walters. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing quite well tonight. I'm excited.
It's good to have you back on the Rod Pod. Next up is the co-founder of the Rider Dynasty Podcast. Back in the day, you can find him on Twitter at the Debbie Dirtbag, Ryan Bickerstaff. How are you, my brother?
Hey, I'm great, JJ. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to get back onto one of these things. It's been a little too long.
Way too long. Next up is the student leader of the preeminent middle school fantasy football club in America. Oh, yeah, he also writes for DLF and Football Guys. You can find him on Twitter at TYFMNFL. Hutch Brown, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, JJ? Super excited to be here. Super excited to be part of this show. I haven't guested on a podcast in a little bit, so I'm so excited. We're doing a mock draft today, so super pumped.
So excited to get you on the pod and to talk some rookies. And last but not least, the founder of Gridiron Ratings. You can find him on Twitter at NFL_DMatteo. Jeff DiMatteo, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, JJ. I am psyched for mock draft season. I have already have some notes pulled up on my phone next to me. I am thrilled to get into this thing tonight.
I am so excited. This is always my favorite time of year. I don't follow a lot of rookie information during the season. I don't follow college football. So I host mock drafts to learn about all the rookies. And it works. Every year they teach me something new, people. So hopefully everybody will learn something. But before we dive into the draft, do me a favor, like and subscribe below. Give us a follow on Twitter at Gridiron Rating. You can also check out our website, gridironratings.com, for all of our latest content. We're working on finishing up the rookie guide, which is going to be available shortly, and it is fantastic. Jeff, do you want to say anything about the rookie guide?
I'm using it in the mock tonight.
So
It's in front of me. Oh. That's my notes. It's the rookie guide. I actually have it on my phone, pulled up right now. Looks great in mobile. We'll just say we're very excited about it. We're finishing up some edits, and it'll be ready for release on 4/20.
Oh, I am excited for it. Excited. I have some more editing to do. I'll finish up those running backs any day now, I promise. All right. Well, gentlemen, tonight's draft order was determined by 100yardrush.com. It's one of my favorite things. If you're a teacher, kids love when you use it in class, so I recommend it.
100-yard run is the best.
I love it. I entered all five of these bums into it and let the avatars race for first place. Coming in first, I think age had something to do with it, but Hutch, followed by Jeff, picking third is Don, fourth is Ryan. Matthew, sorry, buddy, you're bringing up the rear.
It checks out. That's how it goes.
You're going to pick in order. We're going to rotate through until we have completed two rounds of a mock draft. Now, we're picking the best players available, obviously. We don't have teams, so we don't have any team needs. This is a 12-team, 1QB league, PPR, no tight end premium. 1QB, no tight end premium. Just putting it out there before we make a mistake. Any questions, gentlemen?
Let's go.
All right. First up is Hutch.
All right, so in a one quarterback league, this player right here, this running back, is just my guy of this draft class. I'm in love right now with Breece Hall. I mean, he watching him on film, he's just such a smart patient, very intelligent runner. He's big. He's pretty, I mean, honestly, for his size, I think I'd want him to be a bit more physical, but he's 220. He can handle that workload. He's a good pass catcher, and he can take any run to the house. If you put him in open space, he's going to make people miss. He's going to break ankles, and he's going to take any run to the house. So Breece Hall, absolutely my 101 here. And in a super flex league, depending on his landing spot, I consider Breece Hall at 101 in a super flex league. Like, Breece Hall is just so talented. I'm absolutely in love with Breece Hall.
Yeah, that's a good call. Even in some super flex leagues, depending on landing spot, this might not be the draft to go QB early. Don, what do you think about Breece Hall?
Absolutely love him. The comps are all over the place, depending on who you look at. People are saying Matt Forte, comparing him to another Cyclone alumni in Monty. There's really good parallels in those. Tough runner, can run inside or outside, excellent with the ball, and can pass block. He's the closest thing that this draft has to offer to a feature back.
Fantastic. Next up with the number two pick, Jeff.
Well, hey, I just got to throw in that as an Iowa State alum, I love Breece Hall going number one. Makes me real happy. You know, with my pick, I got to go wide receiver here just because Breece Hall is the only featured back. So give me a guy who separates exceptionally well, does a great job as a hands catcher and turning those catches into long runs and big plays after the fact. I'm going to go with Garrett Wilson. Yep. You know, I absolutely love the way he uses his hands and can turn that, you know, 8 to 10 yard route into a 40 yard play to the house. You know, he reminds me a lot of, I don't say like a Steph Diggs. You know, he's so silky smooth in and out of his breaks. And Ohio State didn't even have a really developed route tree that they had him run. But he has all the traits that he can run those routes. I expect that he'll have it between the ears. I have no reason to expect that he won't. With all those wide receiver needy teams in the back half of the first round, he's going to go somewhere and see a lot of target volume really early.
Now, Ryan, I believe in your latest mock draft, you had Garrett Wilson going to my beloved Jets. What are your thoughts on Garrett Wilson?
I think he covered him very well here. Garrett Wilson is my number one wide receiver in this class. He's the kind of guy that I compare to.
All right, Ryan, you are having some technical issues, my friend, with your mic.
Yeah, man, that sounds crazy.
That's all right. We will come back to you in a minute.
Decepticon's got his mic.
Yes. Are you a Transformer? Possibly. So we will check on that and see what we can do. With the next pick in the draft is Don.
So this is the move point because the two highest value, best players are gone. I'm going to go with Kenneth Walker to third here out of Michigan State. Go Sparty here. The closest second back here to a feature back. And really there's two in this group and the rest go beyond. Walker is fast, electric with the ball, electric in the open field, can catch, even though Sparty never really asked him to. We saw a little bit of that ability when he was at Wake. So we know that it's in there. The real question is, also, can he pass block well enough to fit in and stay in? So I really think that he's going to be very useful. He's going to go in the middle of the second round, which means he's going to go to a team with an offensive line capable of supporting him and should very much benefit from that established team and not necessarily go to a place that's plugging and looking for hope.
Yeah. And I wanted to add to the pass catching ability. I mean, Michigan State just doesn't use their running backs in the pass catching game. And there were leaked practice reports, leaked videos of Kenneth Walker making some insane catches. Like, Kenneth Walker has the ability. It's just, can a team use him and actually unlock it? So it's going to be very interesting to see where Kenneth Walker goes and will they use him as a primary pass catcher. I agree with you. After Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall, like, Isaiah Spiller I kind of like, but, man, after Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall, it's a huge teardrop.
Absolutely. Ryan, are you available? Ryan is not available. So yeah. Ryan is logging out and logging back in. In the meantime, I am going to step in and pick for Ryan, which will drive him nuts. Coming in, we have Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Kenneth Walker. You know, I have mixed feelings about the wide receiver class. I'm a little bit nervous about Drake London. I'm a little bit nervous about Treylon Burks. I'm going to go for the speedster and take Jameson Williams. Oh, gonna take Jameson Williams. You know, you gotta love speed. I have a type, and my type is fast. The faster, the better. That's what I'm looking for. I think he's gonna end up somewhere decent. Ryan actually had him mocked to Washington, which, oh, Ryan is back. Ryan, I just drafted Jameson Williams for you. How do you feel about that at the fourth slot?
All right, is this thing working?
It is working perfectly.
Awesome. Okay, so you drafted Jameson Williams for me. Thank you for that, because that's who I was going to go with anyway. I am a lot higher on Jameson Williams than consensus. It feels like at least there are some people out here who have him like receiver one, receiver two, like I do. Williams is being slept on because he's dealing with an ACL injury right now. If not for that injury and he was projected to start from day one and go through this entire season healthy, or at least be able to start the season healthy, I think the optimism around him would be so much more. And I think that he compares to Jalen Waddle in that way, the way Waddle's draft stock last year was slept upon because he was dealing with that late season injury. And then Waddle came into the NFL and lit it up. And I think that Jameson Williams, while his beginning to this season is probably going to be, you know, around the middle part of it, that he can do some damage down that stretch for you. And year two is really where he's going to pop as that high level dynasty receiver. This is a guy who has the route running at all three levels and blazing like 4.28 to 4.30 type speed. Like, he's going to be able to get behind a defense, and he's able to create separation over the middle, and he has good enough hands. I saw a few drops, but that stuff got cleared up over the course of the season. So Jameson Williams is being slept upon. He is an elite receiver in this class, at least. And I think that a lot of people who are able to nab him later in the first round are going to be very happy with the result.
100%. Hutch, where are you on Jameson Williams?
I mean, I was really hoping that I could get him at six. I absolutely love Jameson Williams. I mean, if he wouldn't have the ACL injury, I'd probably take him first in rookie drafts of the wide receivers. I mean, he is just – I mean, there are times in college on breakaway runs where he's clocking in over 23 miles an hour. Like, there's maybe one receiver that can really get that fast, and that's Tyreek Hill. Like, that's it. There are very few receivers in the NFL right now that can run at 23 miles an hour. He's just so fast. He's so quick on his feet. He just gets open, and he can run routes at all three levels, like Ryan was saying, and he's just an absolute monster. And I feel like after he gets really, really fully healthy from his ACL, it's going to be trouble.
And those other guys aren't 6'3".
Yeah, his speed is so effortless, too. Yeah, his size and that speed that's already been alluded to, it's effortless. Yeah, he's so smooth. I love him. I was kind of hoping he was going to fall to me at seven, but it sounds like Hutch was going to take six. Yeah,
I was going to get him. I was going to get him. If he fell to me, there's no way I'm not taking him.
Listen, I wasn't going to let him get past Ryan. I got your back, brother.
I do want to jump in here as like I know as I'm the injury guy on this lineup here. So while ACLs have a fairly high return rate now, it's not a complete guarantee that he does get back to 100% healthy. One, I doubt it happens year one, because one, he's going to miss nine months to a year already. And that's going to put him at just the start of the season. He's missing training camp. He's missing a lot of that time that really gets going. And rookie receivers can take time to get going too. So I like Ryan's point of expect it year two. Don't expect year one from him. And there's still a chance that, you know, his knee is never really the same. And there's always going to be a higher likelihood that he injures his ACL again now. So that's just risk to throw in there. Now, saying all that, I do love Jameson Williams. I compared him to as a taller DeSean Jackson when on the draft guide. So I love him. I don't hate the pick. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. And
cautious optimism is exactly. always a good thing, Mr. Walters. What I will also say is be wary of what we are saying, because if you have the patience, wait till somebody gets tired who did draft him. And if he doesn't perform in his first year, you can probably get him cheaper next offseason. Take advantage and offer the trades. Next up with our fifth pick, Mr. Walters, you are up.
So this actually gets interesting for me because, and I might get flack on here for this, but y'all actually left my two top wide receivers here for me to choose from.
I see it.
So I'm actually going to go with Treylon Burks. I think people are overreacting to the 40 time. He is still a, 230-pound man, moving very fast. And all he did was dominate at the highest level in college football in the SEC. Completely roasted Alabama when he played them. Just makes plays. Now, he might not be the most polished receiver, but get the ball in his hands and good things are going to happen. Oh, and he hunts wild boars with just his knife and a dog.
Yeah, that never hurts. Has he finished his 40 yet? I know he was. Last I looked, he had just gone past the 20-yard split. But, Jeff, where are you on
another guy on Burks?
You know, I like Burks a lot. I think that the speed shows up more, I think, on film than it did on the track. And I'm fine with that. I see a guy who can play fast enough in and out of breaks and at least the intermediate and deep levels. They use him on screens a lot, too. People keep trying to use him as like a Debo comp. I don't know if he's going to play like that at the next level. I see a little bit more DK Metcalf to his game as they use him more in intermediate spaces and taking him deep. But, you know, I like him a lot, and I think he's a heck of a value here at number five.
Very good. Next up, Hutch, with your second pick.
Yeah, I really, really – I would have really loved Treylon Burks. And just to throw in something real quick, he did – and I'm mentioning a clock in again, but he clocked in at over – I believe over 22 miles an hour on a breakaway run in college. Like, he has the speed, and they used him as, like, yards after catch kind of guy. They gave him some shorter passes to go to just take runs to the house because he's a fast receiver. They would not give him those runs if he's not a fast receiver. So that 4.55 was it a 4.55? Right?
It was 4.55, 4.56. Yeah,
so right like that. That does not represent the speed he has on the field. He is so much better than that. But yeah, I mean, it was either Treylon Burks or Drake London for me. I'm gonna take Drake London. I mean, he's such an he's just a ginormous frame who can run. He's pretty fast for his size. He's also a very polished route runner for his size. And when watching film on all these guys, because I am watching film on a lot of these guys, these top prospects, he just like wowed me the most when I'm watching him play. He just wowed me the most. Like, he just stuck out to me when watching him play. And before watching film and these guys, like, I don't follow college. Like, JJ, I don't follow college very much. Like, I am not a huge college football follower. So I barely know what the teams these guys play on before I start watching film on them. So Drake London really, really popped out to me. I'm going to take him here, number six. I really, really like that value in a one quarterback league.
All right. Well, Drake London, Don, where are you with Drake?
Love him. He's kind of like a modern day Herman Moore. He's going to play exclusively outside. I know it's throwing back, but hey, a Lion, that was actually good. They're going to put him to the outside and let him go. He's going to dominate an entire end of the field. Supreme height, excellent athleticism, and dynamic with the contested ball catch. Red zone monster. He's going to make somebody look awful good.
Yeah, he's an amazing – he is such an amazing catch radius. Like, you can throw it anywhere, somewhere in his vicinity, and he's going to catch it. Like, he is just such long arms. He is such a big catch radius. He has great hands. If you throw it up there and there's three defenders next to him, he'll still probably come down with it.
It shows now, Ryan, there is catches some in eight games.
Now, Ryan, there is some concern that the reason he was so good at contested catches was because he can't get separation. Now, I know you were a fan of his teammate last year, Amon-Ra. Where do you rank Drake compared to the Sun God?
I mean, London's going to be the better prospect just by virtue of being a similar athlete in a much bigger frame and better in the contested situations. So the first round hype around London is accurate. And I actually had him going 107 in my one QB ranking. So this isn't far off.
The Jets. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets took the shot fourth overall.
And that's a possibility too. I was like, he would fall into that range of receivers that like could really, a lot of these receivers, there is an argument for any of them to be number one.
100%.
But it's
all going to be fit.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Next up with our number seven pick. So we have Breece followed by Wilson, Walker, William, Burks and London. Jeff, who do you have next?
I want to throw in one more note on Drake London before I hop into seven. This guy's a natural basketball player. I don't know if you guys are aware of how good he was in high school playing basketball and how bad the quarterback play was at USC last year. His contested catch rate is more a product of bad quarterback play, and his outstanding athleticism when it comes to getting the ball, being that rebounder, he can box out and go get it. I love him in a place like Philly with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. You've got Devonta Smith, the speedster. You get the possession guy and Drake London on the other side. And now you've got something. You're building that basketball team out of your wide receiver group. Moving on to seven. I'm kind of getting off the beaten path of the consensus here. And this is more of me versus the individual rankings on our draft guide. But I'm going to take the wide receiver out of Penn State, Jahan Dotson.
Ooh.
So you snaked me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love this kid. He has plus marks in speed and athleticism in terms of agility and acceleration, the way he can accelerate in and out of routes, the way he uses nuanced speeds when he stems the route. This guy is explosive in football ways. I'm not worried about his track speed, although that's great too. This is a football player in the way Chris Godwin was when he came out. Same school, same scheme, similar layout. This guy gets it done and produces explosive plays continuously. He's going to end up in a great spot at the back end of the first round. We're talking about Green Bay, Kansas City, one of those spots. The odds of him landing with a top flight quarterback are very high. And I expect by the time these rookie drafts are getting going in earnest in May, he's not going to be at seven. He'll be gone by then.
Ryan. Jahan Dotson, any concerns with his hands, or is that just overblown hype?
Wait, there's questions about his hands?
I thought I saw that. No, am I alone?
I thought he had good hands. I mean, he's aggressive at the catch point.
He has great hands.
So there is a little chat, but it's more a product of terrible quarterback play than it is him.
Yeah, exactly. When you have to go out of your way to get to an errant pass, you're going to have more drops than if you have a guy like, imagine Dotson landing on the New England Patriots catching passes from Mac Jones. I mean, that would be sweet. So it's, I don't think there's anything to be concerned about. Dotson's a stud.
Yeah. And fun fact, quick fun fact. I mean, it's not really like Dots, like not exactly like Dotson's profile related, but I actually, Dotson went to Nazareth and I go to Liberty High School, which is right next to Nazareth. And I actually, when I was in middle school there, I actually got to go watch him play, and dude's a stud. I got to see him play in high school. Dude's a stud. I like this pick. I think it's very spicy. I would have hoped he would have fallen to 11, but I don't think he would have made it.
All right. Next up at number eight, Big Daddy, what do you got?
All right, time to get interesting here because the obvious time is pretty much past us here. The slam dunks are out of the way. There's going to be a lot of love for Chris Olave. I'm not one that loves him. So I'm going off the reservation. It's quarterback time, and I'm going to go deep with Malik Willis here. There's a strong possibility that he ends up being this year's quarterback one. He could go as high as Detroit. I don't like it. He could go to Pittsburgh. I really don't like it. Personally, I don't like his mechanics, but I love his athleticism, and that's going to get him a lot of points. And with the modern scoring systems in so many of our fantasy formats, you don't have to be an awesome quarterback to be an awesome fantasy quarterback.
That's right.
Well, that is true. Matthew, where are you with Malik Willis?
I I'm not super high on Malik Willis. I'm not gonna lie. Especially in one QB, like pretty much the QBs this year are off my board. And in one QB, if I'm being honest, everything that Don said is true. This is all assuming Malik Willis actually wins the starting job wherever he's drafted, and there is no guarantee of that. I mean, we saw it with Trey Lance this last year, where a very raw prospect goes into the NFL, and they even traded 3 first round picks to move up to get him, and he sat all year. I mean, I know that was the plan to begin with the 49ers, but now there's questions on if he's even going to be the starter going forward now, or if Jimmy G's still going to be the starter. So I think these quarterbacks more than ever before are very heavy team dependent on where they land. And in one QB, I'm not taking the risk anywhere with them, but you know, I like that Don went for it and stuck to his guns and is trying something here.
This is long-term investment here.
All right. Next up, Ryan, where are you going?
I'm just going to snap up Chris Olave here. He's a guy who strikes me as a very high floor player. Like, I think that he comes in and he is immediately like a team's wide receiver too. And then, you know, and whatever, however that translates for fantasy, depending on, you know, hopefully it's a pass heavy offense. So like a maybe a Buffalo, if he somehow drops to them that far, like he'd be a nice running mate to
Stephon. I honestly Diggs like him on the Saints. Pair up with Michael Thomas.
That wouldn't be bad either. I kind of have Jameson Williams going there, but that would be a fun match. That'd be a fun team player match too.
I have them flipped. I like Jameson in Buffalo and Chris Olave on New Orleans.
Oh yeah, Jameson Williams in Buffalo is Josh Allen throwing him bombs. That's crazy.
That's why I like it.
That would be next level. Speaking of next, Matthew.
Well, this decision was actually made easy for me right now. I have 7 players in this draft that I really, really like, and one of them just fell to me. Isaiah Spiller, welcome to Matthew's team. And I guess I love slow players because I know his 40 time wasn't that great either. But there have been time and time again where running backs have ran in the 4.6s and have been totally fine, especially when they can catch the ball. Like Isaiah Spiller, I believe he had over 20 receptions every year that he was at Texas A&M. He was over 1,000 yards every year. Kid just produced in college, and I'm happy to have him on my fantasy team going forward.
Running backs who can catch are a cheat code. Jeff, where are you at with Isaiah Spiller?
Yep, he had a real nose for the end zone at A&M, and I don't know that his 40 time was far off his game speed. He didn't blow up and explode off the film the way I would have liked for a guy with his hype surrounding him. You know, good athlete, though. I feel like he can do a little bit of everything that he's asked. The one thing I would really like to see more of, because he's got a little bit of power to him, I want to see him use it. I want to see him get behind his pads a little bit more, kind of like early Kenyon Drake. If you guys remember Kenyon Drake's first year really playing in Miami, he was great at getting behind his pads, and he could take a guy on at the second level. And he's gotten away from that. That's why he's not playing now. He's kind of that, you know, reserve, you know, rotational guy now. I want to see some more of that. Spiller was a guy I thought about at 7, but I just couldn't pass on wide receiver talent for a question mark running back.
All right. So next up is Hutch. Hutch, where are we going with the 11th pick?
All right. So I feel like running backs are, I mean, I would have probably considered Spiller here for running back, but now he's off the board and there's no more running backs left that I want in the first round or maybe even in the second round of a fantasy draft here. So I'm looking at the quarterback. Kenny Pickett is interesting, but I would much prefer Malik Willis. So I think I'm going to stay away from quarterback. Tight end, I don't like any of them really, so I'm going to stay away from tight end. So I'm going back to wide receiver again. And at wide receiver, there are two names I'm really considering here, but I think I'm going to go with George Pickens here. And he's just such a physical – like, he's just so physically dominant. I mean, there are plays where it's a run play. It's not even going his direction, but he's over on the other side of the field just basically tackling defensive backs. Like, he's just drilling them into the ground. Like, he is just so physical, and he's just so dominant. He's so powerful. He's such a big body, and he's just going to be someone that I feel like NFL teams are really going to love. So I really, really like George Pickens at this spot.
Matthew, any injury concerns with George?
Yes, there's some just but the fact that he came back and played in the last four games of this year, that was great. He's going to have all training camp with everyone. I would say year one, there's not really that much injury concern, not as much as with Jameson Williams, where he's actually recovering from it. We've seen him be recovered from his ACL. Now there's always going to be that small chance that he re-injures it going forward and whatnot. But I feel like that's kind of built in with the draft stock here, and I'm not super concerned about his injury going forward.
All right, with the final pick of the first round, Jeff, you are up, sir.
You know, I'm going to stay on wide receiver. I'm kind of with Hutch, where I can't look at the running backs right now. I mean, some interesting names there still if you're trying to take a flyer, but give me a guy I feel like can step in and produce if the situation's right. I'm going to go Sky Moore. You know, I know that he's a small school guy, but this is a guy that, you know, again, I like separation guys. You know, he can get up at the top of his route and explode out of a break and create some separation. You know, one of the notes that we put down here, which I really enjoyed, is, you know, he's got solid, consistent production, which is absolutely 100% true, but he's using great leverage at the top of his route. So he's able to keep that defensive back kind of guessing, and then he can out-leverage him either inside or outside to create additional separation. It doesn't matter if it's a good quarterback, bad quarterback. This guy should be open more frequently than not. Imagine Elijah Moore is kind of a guy that uses great leverage and can get open in space and just is constantly looking for the football. Yeah,
so something good that I found in messing around with the PFF mock draft tool, Ryan, is that Sky Moore keeps falling to me at the top of the second round where the Jets have two early picks. Is his similarities to Elijah Moore kind of rule him out for the Jets?
Yeah, probably. Just for the fact that.
Uh oh, buddy, you've gone to the dark side again.
All right.
So, Jeff, what were you saying about with Elijah Moore? And
you know, he's just a similar type guy that's going to be a specialist at getting open. Right? He runs good routes, and he can run three or four different routes and find three or four different ways to get open using them. And so being able to use proper leverage at the top of that stem and go ahead and basically break a guy's ankles in route two, you know, making his break, gives him that additional perception of explosiveness. I don't look at him on film and see a guy that seems like an athletic specimen. Like I don't see that on the film, but I see a guy who operates like a technician. And those are the guys that have long careers and they are always open and they consistently, you know, go ahead and chip in, you know, 80 to 90 catches and they get you about 1,000 yards. And while it may not be sexy every year, they're the foundation of your team and you can plug them in as a wide receiver 2-3 every single year and feel great about it.
All right. First up, top of the second, Don, who do we have?
Ryan.
Nope. Don. Top of the
second. Oh, I see. It's not Snake. Oh. My bad. So
pay attention to the rules, buddy.
Sorry. Assume the snake. My bad. Never assume the snake. I'm going to stay with the wide receivers here, and I'm going to go back to the injury brigade. John Metchie was dynamic at Alabama. An absolute technician. Can work out of the slot. He's going to get you that 80 to 90 catches again. More athletic, better gifted, and better pedigreed kind of Sky Moore player. Yeah, he's coming off the knee, but he was an earlier season than he was later season injury, so his timetable should be a little more accelerated. I love the possibility here. I love the value for the real draft, and I love the value now because we got a guy who was coming out with a first-round grade now that I'm getting the top of the second.
What do you think about that, Ryan?
Am I back? Is my mic messed up?
No,
you are back, and you're fine.
No, you're back again.
I don't know why that keeps happening. That's ridiculous.
That's all right. What do you think about John Metchie going here at the top of the second?
I think John Metchie, he can fall anywhere from this range to the mid-second for me, especially depending on a landing spot. Like I have him mocked right now to the Minnesota Vikings. He could be a great like complement to Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen is getting up there in age, and the Vikings do have a potential out from his contract after the 2022 season. So a guy like him would be a nice fit, and he could be a nice solid receiver two for his NFL team and a nice receiver three for your dynasty and fantasy teams.
Fantastic. Well, Ryan, you are up next, so why don't you stay on the mic and go ahead and pick.
All right, I guess I'm going to hit the wide receiver button again, and I'm going to take Christian Watson here.
That's a great pick.
He is he's one of those D1 FCS guys, North Dakota State. No one really knew about him until the combine is when he really blew the doors open with like a 4.36 40 time, and he's like 6'4", 210, 215. This is a guy, he has that, and he has like rare like movement ability for a guy that height, and he's explosive, and he has that frame and the ability to develop into that X receiver that you're looking for. He's going to be a little more raw coming from that lesser level of competition, but in the right landing spot, like a KC maybe at the end of the first round, Mahomes just lobbing him up for him, that could be a slam dunk home run for your dynasty squads.
Hutch, how excited would you be to see Watson end up in KC?
That would be very, very exciting. I mean, I would absolutely love to see Christian Watson in KC. I mean, for me, really, though, with guys like Sky Moore and Christian Watson, you know, that kind of tier, it's less for me about the landing spot because I love all their profiles. I think they're all talented. It's more just about what draft capital is used on them, because that's going to make or break their fantasy football value to me. If one of these teams invest a second round pick in either Christian Watson or Sky Moore or even maybe John Mechie, that player will be on every single one of my rookie drafts. Like, I'm going to be heavily targeting that player because if a team is worth, I mean, team invests that much in them, they're going to be using them and they trust their talent. So I really, really like that. I really, really like Christian Watson and KC. KC is a second round pick this year, right? I don't remember.
Yeah. I think they have two, actually.
They have two?
I believe so.
They got a second for Tyreek Hill. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, I think they have 2 seconds. So yeah, if they use one of those on Christian Watson, oh man, I'd be willing to take him in a first round and even maybe a super flex league.
Very good. Next up, Matthew, third pick of the second round.
This is interesting here. There's really two players I'm looking at. I'm not going to name the second one because
I know what they are.
He falls to me. I'm definitely higher on this player than a lot of people because we're going to keep the slow train going because apparently I just love slow players. I'm taking
David. You're like the opposite of me, Matthew.
I like slow players that can play football. That's what I like. So I'm taking David Bell.
Nice.
This guy, I comped him to Tyler Boyd. I think he's ever going to be a wide receiver one? The possibility's slim. I'm giving like a 5% chance that he turns into Keenan Allen. But he really reminds me of Tyler Boyd athletically, skill set wise. And as much as people love to hate Tyler Boyd because he's not, you know, Jamar Chase, he's had a good career thus far and has been a good depth piece for people. And I really think David Bell can be that. And he put up 200 yards against Michigan State this year, which is impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, where are you with David Bell?
You know, truthfully, with the just dearth of wide receivers available this year, he hasn't been a guy that I've even gotten close to taking in any mocks or in anything I've done so far. Not that he's a bad player. I think he's been a good player. He's demonstrated that, you know, he's a great receiver. He can move in and out of routes well. He seems to have a lot of savvy setting up corners and you know, getting open without having that elite game-breaking agility. But, you know, when I compare him to guys like Christian Watson, Sky Moore, you know, Jahan Dotson, Drake London, and the list goes on, it's really hard for me to get into him in the second because even now I'm looking at the list and there's a couple other players that I still want ahead of him. I'd have to be picking a little further back. Nice player. I really want to see the landing spot, though.
Now, are you picking slow players, though? Because maybe Matthew is picking in a different type of draft.
Well, as you can see with my picks, I don't think I've taken anybody slow yet. I tend to err on the side of quickness. I prefer football speed. I'm not necessarily looking for everyone running 4.2s, but I want to see guys that can demonstrate speed on the field.
What can I say? I like the Cooper Cups and the Keenan Allens of the world.
Hey, man.
I can't argue with that. Hutch, with the fourth pick in the second round.
Man, this one's interesting because I was actually really looking at David Bell. I really wanted Christian Watson potentially fall to me. So I feel like I'm going to step away from wide receiver here. I'm going to go to a different position. And I know I earlier just kind of bashed the tight end position in this draft, but there is one tight end in this draft that I do genuinely like, and I see him over there just sitting down. I really want to take Trey McBride here. I actually really like Trey McBride. I think he's a great, great prospect. I see everyone getting mad at me, and I
come on, man.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, I'm gonna take Trey McBride. I mean, 6'4", 260, runs a 4.56 40 at the combine, like super athletic. Puts up a ton of put up a lot of yardage, a lot of numbers in this past season with Colorado State. And it's weird though because he didn't put up any touchdowns. He put up one touchdown with 1,121 yards. I mean, like, Jacoby Myers with his touchdowns looks really great over there compared to freaking Trey McBride. But I think if he gets put in the right situation, the right NFL team, he could really become a great athletic tight end. And honestly, when I draft tight ends in fantasy, I really just want athleticism. I want them to be able to make yards after catch, and Trey McBride can absolutely do that. So I'm going to take McBride here. I think he's actually being pretty undervalued because people just think this tight end class sucks, but there is one guy in Trey McBride that I really like.
Don, where are you on McBride?
I think the lack of touchdowns on McBride is everything to do with Colorado State. They do not throw the football that much. And everybody in the world knew the ball was going to him when they did. When they get near the goal line, they just give it to the backs. They're very much a ground and pound team. And he demonstrated the ability to block, which means he doesn't have to come off the field. So he's going to be used similarly to the way Pat Freiermuth was used last year and grow into a role quite like that. He's going to be dynamic. I like him a lot.
Just remember, if you draft Trey McBride, most tight ends don't develop in their first 2 years.
Correct.
So be
most
patient.
Most patient.
Be patient.
Be patient. That's right.
Just stressing that. As the oldest man here, patience is key. Jeff, you are up, my friend.
Well, hang on, I got to drag my corpse off the floor because Hutch just sniped me out in broad daylight here.
I'm sorry.
That's
a lot of people.
That's a yeah.
That's like three different people like throw their arms up at me.
It's well, it was great only because you had talked about not wanting the tight ends. You hated the tight end group, and I was sitting here looking at my board, and I was like, "Oh, dude, he's not going Trey McBride. I'm taking Trey McBride." Thanks for that.
You're welcome. Yeah, it was really tricky there. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't think I'd be in that situation, but whatever.
Hey man, it's okay. It's you shoot to kill, and I can appreciate that. So I am also stepping away from wide receiver. I feel like I've already beaten that position into submission, and I really was torn here. Obviously, the top two backs left. You know, Rashad White, Brian Robinson Jr. I'm going Brian Robinson, and I know I'm probably in the minority there, but this is the guy that I saw run really nice power. He was effective as a check down. He got it done when called upon in the passing game. He's not a zero there. I feel like he doesn't get quite enough credit for his ability to catch passes and turn them into yards and touchdowns. And, you know, runs with plenty of power. Prototypical size. Like, this is a guy where he can tote the mail. And if he ended up in a place, you know, I'm trying to think like Buffalo. You know, they get Devin Singletary. He's not really the guy. But if Brian Robinson ended up in Buffalo as a, you know, maybe he's a third rounder, maybe in a late two or something. Hey. That's a guy that could put up big time numbers.
Especially if he has a second round pick and Brian Robinson, I'd be pretty shocked. But that'd be awesome for his value. Brian Robinson, if he goes in the second round, kind of like how I was saying with Sky Moore and Christian Watson, that would really trigger my attention for Brian Robinson.
He probably ends up a first round rookie pick if he gets taken in the second round.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked that the only team I could see doing it in the second, and I don't even know if Buffalo's in the second, but it would have to be a team like Buffalo's in the last few picks. It wouldn't be something like
that. I'll look that up, but I think they do have a second round pick.
Yeah, because Buffalo's pretty well stocked at most positions, but they have a glaring need at running back, and it's from what I'm what I've seen and heard is they've called on just about everybody under the sun.
Yeah, I'm really hoping they get Breece Hall though. I really want them to take that luxury first round pick on a running back, get Breece Hall, and just let him take over. That I just really want that. But Ryan Robinson would be interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan, are you a Brian Robinson fan?
Oh, of course. He's an Alabama guy, so I watched him, you know, more than I've seen all of his games, and from what I can glean from Brian Robinson is that he is just like your blue collar, hard nose downhill runner. He has a little bit of shake to him, but not that much. He's not very explosive, but he's just the guy who will get the job done for you. And given the draft capital and the landing spot, he could produce as an RB2. Just it has to be in the right situation.
So Chris Carson, basically.
Maybe. Yeah. Like a Chris Carson plus.
Now, where do you, You do mock drafts, Ryan. Where did you have him going? Did you have him going in the top two rounds?
Yes. Actually, I had him at 209 in my one QB rankings, and maybe that is a little low for him, but and this isn't too far off from where I had him projected.
Yeah, the Bills have pick 57. Okay. Sorry to jump in like that, but yeah, they have 57.
No, that's fine.
That'd be an interesting spot. Don, you are up. Pick number six in the second round. Where are you going?
Your running backs at this point now, including Robinson, are all 1A, 1B guys. They're all compliments. Some of them bring the hammer. Some of them bring the lightning. I'm going to take the biggest of the playmakers here left at the running back position. I'm going to go a little down the list. I want James Cook. The bloodlines are excellent. He's going to catch a pile of passes. He's the new kind of back. And you're going to see him sneak in there and catch a pile of passes, get used in those creative ways, screen game, swing pass, jet out of the backfield. He's going to be that lightning to somebody's thunder. And for a team like a Pittsburgh, there's my black and gold heart coming out again, who has the dynamic back, the big guy. Now they need to change of pace. Dude, with that kind of electric speed, that could be really interesting.
Like the good old days of Willie Parker.
Exactly.
That'd be really interesting. The thing is, Najee's a great pass catcher. So I mean, I would hate it for Najee because Najee is a great pass catcher, but that would be interesting for that offense.
That offense is very happy to give the ball to the running backs, and Najee's 375 touches is not sustainable.
It is not, although my fantasy roster did love the touches.
Same, dude. Same. Yeah,
they'll Lev Bell him. You know, they'll drive him into the ground for 5 years and turn him loose.
You're absolutely right. That's what they do.
Yeah. Nothing wrong. I mean, that's why the rookie contract is the way it is. They're just working the system.
Absolutely. Ryan, number seven pick. Who do you go with?
This is going to be a pretty easy one for me. This is a player I actually have at the top of the second round. And I might be overestimating the draft capital I think he gets at the end of this month, but I'm going Rashad White here. And this is a guy, he has really good size out of the backfield, like 6'2", 210, and he's a good running back, but he's also an excellent receiver out of the backfield. And maybe he is, if given the draft capital, I think he could get like day two, maybe round three. In the right conditions, he is going to be like an RB2 for you, and that's like because he does have that skill set, that level of talent. This is a pretty easy pick for me. Rashad White, I think that he is going to be – he is somebody who's being slept on a little bit, but
– I have noticed him lately, Hutch, creeping up draft boards. How high do you think he's going to be by the time the NFL draft rolls around?
I mean, Rashad White, I think he'll probably be in the early second rounds. I mean, if he gets spent, you know, like a third-round pick on, I think he'll be earlier in the second round of a one quarterback draft, but I don't, he's not someone like, I just don't love targeting the running backs outside these top three. I just really don't. I see all of them as dart throws. So I'll, you know, if I see him in the late second and is like, oh, he's there, hey, I'll take a dart on him. But I just don't treat these other running backs anything else but dart throws.
I personally love my second round running back dart throws, especially in rookie drafts. This is where you find the Kareem Hunts, right? You find these guys who, you know, are going to hit the Arian Fosters, you know. I don't know. I'm old.
But you're Matthew, naming good players.
I am. I only draft good players. Oh, it makes it easier, Matthew. Makes it a lot easier.
That's the insider intel we come here for.
I see. That's what I've been doing wrong all these years.
Yeah, you got to just draft the right players and you'll win. It's easy.
My bad.
It's an easy game, my friend. Matthew, who are you going at with the eighth pick?
Well, you know, judging by how I've drafted so far, you would think I'm going Kyren Williams, but not doing that. So I'm actually going, let's see,
he
if I say
40, right?
I don't think he finished. Did he finish it? I don't think he finished his. He they didn't play enough. Sundial. I mean, he got blown away by the wind. Like, that's, he couldn't. But wow. I'm going, let's see if I sit. Is it Wandale or is it Wandale or Wandale Robinson?
Wandale.
If you can't pronounce his name, you can't draft him. Sorry. Keep moving.
Well, then I'm just going to go W. Robinson. And Robinson. Welcome to the squad. I know he's a little shorter than people like in their receivers, but dude is a playmaker. And all he did was make plays in the SEC against the toughest competition in college football, according to most people. He had 104 catches this year, 1,334 yards. He's explosive on the field. If you get him the ball, he's going to make plays. I know he's short. He's not going to be catching over anybody. But guess what? There's other ways to get fantasy points. So,
Jeff, what do you think about Wandale?
You know, this is the big talk all offseason. Everyone's looking for their Debo, right? They're trying to find that guy that can get the ball in the guy's hands, let him run it, let him catch it, short area quickness, let him go do his thing after the catch. I don't think there's anybody more electric with the ball in their hands than Wandale Robinson. This guy is an absolute spark plug. You can get it to him, you know, on those quick little screens, little touch screen in the backfield, whatever you want to do. Handoffs, doesn't matter where you line him up. He can be anywhere. Definitely the fastest guy on his team right now. So, you know, it's a great pick.
Everybody wants the next Debo until you read that Debo wants $25 million a year in his next contract.
Yeah. As a 49ers fan, so I'm going to go ahead and say trade him. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Not going to happen. Hutch, you are up next. All right, gentlemen, we are on the last round of picks. So this is your last pick in this round. Hutch.
My last pick in this draft, and look, I don't love the running back. I mean, Kyren Williams is actually pretty tempting to me because, I mean, because before that 40 time, he was being pretty hyped. Like, he was the locked-in number four back, and then after that 40 time, it really just fell off, and I want to make the debate that that 40 time wasn't really, like, something went wrong. It was a bit of a fluke. He can be better than that, but I'm really not confident in that. These receivers, I don't think, are worth a second-round pick here. The tight ends, outside Trey McBride, I don't care. And then quarterback here, we do have Kenny Pickett. And I think I'm going to take Kenny Pickett here. I think he's the most polished passer in this class. And I think that he is just under – what?
He got Jeff again.
Jeff again?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hanging my head. Don't you worry. I'm going to keep scrolling through my notes here. I'm going to go find another player real quick while you're talking.
I'm sorry. Okay. But anyway, Kenny Pickett, I'll try to talk for as long as I can. But Kenny Pickett standing at 6'3", 220. I mean, he's just a tall, bigger quarterback. He can run a 4.73, very sneaky, athletic. And as I just said a second ago, I think he's a more polished passer than Malik Willis. And I think on the right team, he could be that team starter for week one. He could compete for a starting job, maybe in Atlanta, in Carolina, in Seattle. He can compete with those guys in
week one. How would you beat Drew Locke in a quarterback competition?
I can beat Drew Locke in a quarterback competition.
Anyone of us can beat Drew Locke in a quarterback competition. But yeah, he can go to one of those few landing spots. Cause I mean, right now I'm predicting him. I think Carolina could take him number 6 overall. I think Atlanta could even take him at number 8 overall. Like, they're in Seattle, they have 9th overall pick right now.
They do.
They could absolutely grab him at 9th overall. I think Kenny Pickett absolutely has the chance to go all three of those places, start week one. And in all three of those scenarios, there's at least one big name weapon there that he can depend on. So I really like Kenny Pickett here. I'm going to take him. And because honestly, outside of Kenny Pickett, there's no quarterback that I see potentially starting week one. I don't see Malik Willis starting week one. I don't see Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, or Carson Strong, any of them starting week one. Kenny Pickett is one guy where I can see him stepping in week one and playing right away. And for fantasy, that's pretty important.
Can he even hold the ball with those tiny hands, though?
No, he's double jointed. Cabbage. It's cool.
Carney hands.
Yeah.
It's not Jake Fromm. You can stop.
Crazy strong. It's all right. What he's lacking in size, he's making up for in strength. It's okay.
He wears gloves, so it's okay.
Teddy, two gloves. All right, Jeff.
Who is your tilt pick going to be?
I'm going to go Justin Ross.
Nice.
So,
all right.
Here's the thing. I'm basically taking his most recent film, his 2021 season and all that. Yeah. I'm trying to throw it away. The idea being that DJ Ungulale, I hope I said that right, or I was close at least.
Close enough.
He was bad. He may have been one of the worst quarterbacks I've seen. At least that was hyped as a number one in a very mm-hmm. long time. And Justin Ross suffered as a result of that. This is a guy that makes plays down the field. He's big game ready. Talking about 153 yards as a freshman in the national title game. Guys don't just show up like that and then forget how to play football. He's a little lackadaisical in some of his routes and in the way he can go after the football sometimes. But I think some of that, again, can be attributed to some poor quarterback play. If you watch the games he played with Trevor Lawrence, this is a guy that was going out there and getting after it. He was a big play threat downfield, made catches in traffic. He could get good separation. Little bit of a one-trick pony. I see him as being a deep threat almost exclusively. He doesn't operate as cleanly in that intermediate space as you'd like him to. So he's probably not profiling as that legitimate number one receiver. But if he's a complement somewhere where they've got a guy you have to double, he could just by proxy be a fantasy asset.
Well, you know the best thing about one-trick ponies? It's still a pony, Jeff. Ponies are really cute.
Right? I mean, who doesn't want a pony?
Everybody wants a pony. Speaking of ponies, next up, Don. I don't know why that was the transition.
Yeah, that was a horrible transition.
Hey,
Listen to him. That was great.
Thank you, man.
Actually, I kind of want to get the Ferret's perspective here about Ross and all the health stuff that he went through.
I was actually wanting to jump in there. So he had a scary injury, but it really wasn't a scary injury. Like, it was congenital. He was born with it. They just never caught it until college. So basically, the way I was going, I was trying to Google it real quick to kind of jog my memory on what was going on, but he had to get a fusion in his cervical spine, which basically means they're taking your spine and fusing the separate vertebrae together. I don't know exactly how many were fused or what, but this restricts your range of motion for your neck. And that was the reason there was a chance he never played football again. So just the fact that he's back out on the field, amazing, probably a miracle of modern science. But hopefully with the surgery and everything, it is cleared up going forward. Now, my mind goes to, because like Jeff said, throughout 2021's film, mentally, is he ever going to be the same after that injury? I've had a spinal fusion. It took me maybe 2 years to get over that fact, just playing pickup basketball, just scared to get hit. And mine was not in my neck where I'm getting hit from the side. So props to Justin Ross for even coming back from this injury. There's a chance that at the NFL level where he's getting hit like a truck on every play, that this becomes a problem again. Now, I think in the back end of the second round of your rookie drafts, that's not a bad spot to take a shot on that. But I do have serious concerns about his surgery and injury and everything going forward.
Yeah, I was in a spot where I looked at Justin Ross, and truthfully, I went to production because I really liked Alec Pierce. I like Khalil Shakir. These were guys I was both really into. I really wanted Kenny Pickett. Well, I wanted Wandell Robinson was the guy I had up. Then he got popped. And then I wanted Kenny Pickett. And then he went away. And that's when I threw my hands up and said, all right, to heck with it. I'm just going to take Justin Ross, I guess. But this is one of those picks were, hey, I feel really good about all the other guys I've taken, and I'm just going to throw a dart here and hope that we see some of the guy we saw when he was a freshman, because that player was a locked in first round pick. And if we get that guy back, he's a screaming value.
Yep.
He was absolutely
dead. Where are you going?
Right now, I'm headed back to the running backs. I'm going with Damian Pierce from Florida. Tough kid, just tough as nails. Reminds me a little bit of James Conner. He's going to be a goal line dude. He's going to get you those contested short yards, going to have high value carries. And at this point in the draft, high value carries is what you want. I look at him like in a Philly would be a great fit for him to go with those smaller, speedier backs to be the hammer, be the short yardage guy and the high value guy.
Very good. Ryan, with a penultimate pick in our mock draft, who are you going with here?
Well, I was just sniped on that one. So technically next up on my board is Matt Corral, but I'm not going to go with a quarterback here. I want to take this pick to highlight a player I'm a lot higher than on consensus. And that is Pierre Strong Jr. Much like Christian Watson, that D1 FCS star. This guy was ultra productive at South Dakota State. He is a little undersized. I think he only weighs like 205 pounds, but he's an explosive athlete. He ran in the 4.3s. He has a nice skill set. He looks, what little film I could find on him, he looks good. He moves well. And I think that if he gets into the right situation, and I see his draft capital ranging anywhere from like the third round to the fifth round, and anywhere within that spectrum, I think would be good for him. And but if he gets toward the top end of that, like maybe third or fourth, I will chance taking him at the end of the second round, because especially if there's an opportunity for him to see playing time, because I think that he is going to carve out a very nice role for himself and have a nice little NFL career.
Well, I'm interested in that. We actually, Gridiron has him in the same tier as Jerome Ford, Zamir White, Tyler Allgeier. So, yeah, he was right there for us as well. Now, I know that was our 24th pick in the mock. I feel bad because it was an uneven amount. So we do have an extra little spot for Matthew. You get to make the final pick just so everything's even. Who do you take with your bonus second round?
My bonus second round pick. I'm going off the board here. And I got to mention my man, Sincere McCormick, out of UT San Antonio. This kid he rushed for over 1,400 yards in two out of his 3 years, almost rushed for over 1,000 yards as a true freshman, caught over 20 balls every year. He was the main reason UTSA had their fantastic run this past year, where they were ranked for the first time in school history. He is just a baller. And I am perfectly fine with taking a shot on him in this 13th pick of the second round. Now, I'm hoping he gets drafted in the fifth round. That's where I hope he goes. There's a chance he goes undrafted and, you know, just throw everything I just said out the window and, you know, slap me in the face. But I love Sincere McCormick, but I did go to UTSA, so he has a bit of a soft spot in my heart. So.
Homer.
Hey, nothing wrong with the Homer pick. Nothing wrong with the Homer pick. All right. Well, that finishes our second round. Gentlemen, we did it in just an hour. It is time for tags, where we let the riders where they can find us and any final thoughts that we may have. Hutch.
You all can go follow me on the Twitter machine at TYFMNFL. I am a content creator for Football Guys. I post videos on their YouTube channel every single Tuesday. Shorts, one of their shorts videos every single Tuesday. And I also write for DLF. So if you have a DLF subscription, you go check out those articles. I just wrapped up a rookie reaction series, which is where basically I just look at these past rookie seasons, just kind of react to them, talk about their dynasty fantasy football futures.
Fantastic. Matthew.
Yeah, you can find me on the Twitter machine as well, at Fantasy Ferrets. I'm a part of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. I believe we're going to have a podcast coming out pretty soon where we're going to talk about these rookies and their injuries and hopefully get to give a little bit more insight on all that.
They do a fantastic job on the Next Man Up podcast, not only telling you the injuries that you need to know, but who is next. It's literally, they tell you who the next man up is. It's a great combination.
It's like
it's in the
name. It's almost like it's self-explanatory, and that's what we try to do.
Listen, Matthew, I am a middle school teacher. Nothing is self-explanatory.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Self-explanatory.
Next up, Ryan.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at the Debbie Dirtbag, and I also have a YouTube channel, also the Debbie Dirtbag. And if you visit my channel, be sure to subscribe. I have a video up. It's a 3-round Superflex Dynasty rookie mock, and then I have 2-round regular picks 1 through 32 and 33 through 64 mock series up recently as well. So yeah, check me out there. Give me a follow and hit me up on Twitter. I'll answer questions about prospects and trade advice, etc.
He does fantastic work. My go-to for all my Debbie information. Don.
Guys, this is the time when you should really be doing your homework. Watch as many of these videos as you can. Get the guides. Read about the players because you want to make your own decisions. You don't want to have to be stuck with what Mel Kiper and the stuff you get off of ESPN are telling you. There's so much more information out there than just the big comb over tells you.
Jeff.
The big comb over. Sorry, got me.
And I love it. I've been watching it forever. He's almost a personal hero, but yo.
No, that's good. That's good.
So yeah, I'm easy, but that was a great jab. That was just – oh, well, you can find me on the Twitter machine at NFL_DiMatteo, or you can find Gridiron Ratings pretty much anywhere there's anything remotely social happening. Just search Gridiron Ratings, and you're likely to find us. You know, we haven't done anything on TikTok. We have a channel, but there's zero videos so far. Yeah. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Now we're starting to delve into Reddit. So if you're a Redditor, you know – check us out on there. We're everywhere, expanding.
All right. Well, thank you to Don, Ryan, Matthew, Hutch, and Jeff for joining me tonight. You can find me on Twitter at JJ Wenner. Make sure you're tuning in tomorrow for Getting Defensive with Brandon, Gary, and yours truly. We're going to be talking about the top 3 free agent moves with our special guest, Johnny the Greek. We will be back here on Rider Dynasty next Wednesday, where we're going to finish rounds 3 and 4 of a mock draft, because that's what Rider Dynasty does. We go into the deep players. So you're going to need to watch this next episode next week. From all of us to all of you, be safe, be well, and remember, never say anything to make a meeting longer or cut a happy hour short. Boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.